Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What is up, little devils? We have a very special episode today. I'm currently on the Long Island Expressway with my boy toy, Desmond Bishop. But before we get to that, I have to let you guys know that I'm going to be in Irvine, California, Los Angeles, California, and Tempe, Arizona in the next 2 weeks. So go to hannaburner.com to grab tickets. And Des and I drive from West Hampton to New York City a lot, and we love a good car convo. So I figured, let's let you guys in on our car combo. Des, welcome to hell.
Oh, it's great to be back in hell.
We're gonna share something quite special with you guys. We teased it before and we've never done it, but a big part of our relationship, especially when I was in the house filming, Des would send me funny videos of him singing.
I was trying to woo you with funny videos. I had this app that I was using a couple times. We met, we had this like, you know, like deep connection, and then you left, you know? There was no like freedom. It almost felt like you were in jail because you could only talk when you weren't working. We were connected through humor. In fairness, our big connection was through laughing. We did connect through laughing.
Sending someone a singing video is quite ballsy.
Well, it wasn't a singing video. It was meant to be funny.
I know, but you're still singing.
I know, but it was auto-tune. I wasn't like so sending you like, you are the sunshine of my life. I was sending you like a funny, silly.
Yeah, if guys sing seriously or play guitar seriously, there's an issue.
No, this was a joke. And this joke was, so, you know, you need to set up the, if you're going to play the song.
I want to play you guys.
But you can't play it until you set up the context.
Okay, but the funny thing about these songs in general is they weren't just silly songs. They would be so catchy that they would get stuck in my head, stuck in his head. When he first brought me back to his house, was it the first time?
It was our second date. You came back to the house.
I came back to the house. He couldn't find his remote control. And it was pretty funny because it's kind of awkward. It's like, let's watch TV, and he couldn't find it. You probably felt a little bit like, damn it, this isn't great that I can't find the remote control.
I never found it. No, but we never found it.
And I should have taken that to know that we're both pretty messy and are going to lose a lot of things in our relationship. But material things are not important. That's what we learned from that. But yeah, he couldn't find the remote control. I thought nothing of it because he, in my head, was perfect in every way.
Remote control was missing for ages.
Yeah.
And like that became like a running joke with me and you. It was like, have you found the remote yet? Like, I never found it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was missing for quite a long time.
I think this is the first video you ever sent me, actually.
Yeah, that was the first one.
This is the first one. It's iconic. No further introduction. Here it is.
Girl, you're making me lose control. You're making me lose control. And I think you know what I really mean. I lost my remote control. It's been gone for 5 days. Where the fuck did it go? You're making me lose my remote control. Are you coming with me between the cushions and help me look in? Because I wanna watch CNN again, MSNBC, you and me. Please help me find my remote control.
I think you should make an album.
Can I break the fourth wall for a second and just say that we haven't just listened to it? So we're breaking the fourth wall here. You guys just listened to it. We have not just listened to it.
I remember it.
So it's not fresh.
You've been gone for 4-5 days. Where the fuck did it go? You're making me lose my remote control.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is that I just feel like, as far as like sending somebody silly videos, you know, people share memes and different things, it's pretty high quality.
Well, I think you need to put out an album of all your wooing songs because they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, but like,
how many tries did that take?
That part I can't remember. I could tell you right now, like, actually I banged it out super quick, or yeah. I could tell you it took me a day.
Yeah.
I can't remember. My vague recollection is that It was a pretty quick improv because actually, yeah. Like,
that sounds like you just got it right.
Yeah, sometimes they just come out, you know.
He did another one about frenemies that was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, that was but you don't want to get too into that because there was a little bit of drama behind that.
Because he kind of knew what was going on in the house.
Yeah. Frenemies.
But the most important one was he used a song like this to propose to me. So when I do interviews and people are like, how did he propose? I'd be like, he sent me a song, and they wouldn't really get it, but you guys get it because it was a weird, funny.
It was a throwback to the wooing.
Yeah, it reminded me that you weren't wooing me anymore.
Yeah, but baby, I can't woo you forever. We were living together. The wooing is over. And that's not to say that the romance was dead or the spice is gone. We still make an effort. But like the wooing, so I brought the woo back, you know? The Wu-Tang, the woo is not forever, like the Wu-Tang Clan said, but I brought the woo back for the proposal. But if you don't have the context, it's a bit weird. We're never sharing the proposal song. And let's face it, it wasn't as good as...
It wasn't as good.
It wasn't as good.
It was the thought that counted. It wasn't bad, but I don't remember it like the other ones.
No. I can't even remember what the proposal song was.
Neither can I.
I can't remember
it
at all.
You were so nervous that day.
Well, I was up in the morning doing it.
Did you have a concept in your head?
I didn't, know. I was just kind of... I just all... You know, like I said, when we talked about it on Girls Gotta Eat... I had made the decision that I would do it on Valentine's Day, and then I was thinking of the way to do it, and then I was like, you know what, fuck, I'm going to wake her up. You know, it's like, it's Valentine's Day. You want to say happy Valentine's Day, you don't want to like wait till later in the day. It's like, I'm going to wake you up, but happy Valentine's Day, marry me, right? And then I thought of the song as like the intro, you know? But
and fun fact, because I was sleeping, he was just leaning over on the bed with both his knees down, so he didn't really get down on one knee.
Probably at that time.
You were,
one knee was probably like a lower back problem. Had I torn my groin yet? No, I don't think I had. I think I was weeks away from tearing my groin.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for sending me those videos. I love them so much. They brought a lot of joy in my life. So we'll start you off light. I think this episode we're going to discuss a little bit about wedding planning because... We've taken a break. We've stepped away from the public eye for a bit. And now we can joke and talk about what's really going on. I also think the little devils have some good questions for us we're going to answer. People want to know what your skincare routine is because your skin looks fabulous.
I just use crappy moisturizer. I don't have any skincare routine other than like the shitty Vaseline moisturizer, you know, that you buy in CVS. I just put it on my face.
Have you ever gotten a facial before?
I've had facials, but I don't really think they do much, to be honest.
Do you think the skincare industry is fake?
A scam?
A scam.
100%.
Ooh, hot take.
But, you know, I don't have any evidence on that. I'm not giving my scientific opinion on the skincare industry, but I do think that there's a lot of overpriced products that are giving people false hope.
I agree. I think.
But I don't have, like, you know, any expert opinion on that. And, you know, there could be some of these products that really do make a difference, but... You know, I definitely don't think enough for the prices that some of them are giving. But at the same time, there's something about you pay a lot of money for a product and it feels like a certain way. Like I was like, oh, it feels so good. Like it's light or something. It's like it feels good, right?
It smells like wildflower.
It makes you feel good. Then fine, you know, if you have that disposable income, fine. You know, that's what I think. But like, you know, I'm just a guy. I'm a typical man, and I'm sure that there are an infinite number of opposing silly purchases that men make that give them, you know, for example, like on certain podcasts, certain very popular sort of slightly more male focused podcasts, a lot of the presenters push different vitamin products and you know, protein products, all like the majority of which are absolute total nonsense.
The powders,
like, there is a lot of false promises being made in the supplement industry, as well as, in my opinion, the cosmetics industry. So I don't want to be seen to be shitting on the cosmetics industry as if I'm saying, oh, women are being duped. I think that we're all being duped on the false promises of health.
When you target people's insecurities, you can get them to do all crazy types of shit. I mean, with women, it's not that it's a complete scam, but like if there was a product that could make everyone not ever get wrinkles, don't you think everyone would use it? And everyone has different types of skin. Every guy has different hormones or whatever, different workout routines, whatever. But long story short, be aware when people are trying to just scam you off of your insecurities because you're scared. And when you make decisions out of fear, you waste your money.
You know, I when I was doing Dance with the Stars, the makeup artist, I actually asked her, I was like, you know, I just put like the Vaseline, you know, aloe green one or the cocoa one on my face and it's fine. Like, is that bad? And she was like, if you do not have a bad reaction, like if you don't have an allergic reaction to that on your face, mm-hmm. there's nothing bad about it. Mm-hmm. But of course, I say that to other people. I've said that to women and they're like, no way.
Yeah, like they'll get pimples and shit.
Well, yeah, but like that hasn't been the case for me.
And the reason the men's skincare industry is not booming is because most men are not afraid of getting wrinkles. It makes them distinguished.
Well, my understanding is that whole world is growing, you know, mm-hmm. men's sort of skincare products, and certainly male Botox is getting more popular. Mm-hmm. So I have no doubt that, you know, I think it's directly related to things you often talk about, Instagram. You know, like obviously people are, men as well as women are looking at their image a lot more than they used to. And I think it only makes sense that suddenly men become more paranoid about lines and different things that perhaps they weren't as focused on before. But I definitely do think that men still have more leeway when it comes to aging.
Yeah.
100%. You
know? There is that old joke about how women will have a whole fucking skincare routine, face roller serums, blood of a pig, put it on your face, who knows. And then men will take a towel that they also wipe their ass with and wipe their face and then be glowing. So
I mean, I think that's hyperbole, but I definitely think that men aren't as concerned about, like, over the years, people have said to me, like I'll be like, I'll rub my face dry. And they'd be like, no, you have to blot your face dry.
Yeah, I
like,
heard.
Like, how much difference is the blotting or the rubbing going to really do to my face? And I'm sure there's some listeners that are being like, oh my God, you have to blot. Everybody knows that, but I'm not a blotter. I'm like a rubber.
Noted. I didn't know that about you, babe.
Yeah, I don't blot.
Oh my God.
I just, listen, everybody knows that about me. I don't blot. I've never been a blotter.
I actually walk around, I just started with these like oil pads. They're basically just pieces of paper. So in between sets, I get a little greasy, which is supposedly good for your skin, but you just blot the grease off your face. But that's because I'm Italian.
But I'm a serious sweater. Like every special I ever recorded, like any live stand-up thing I ever recorded, I'm like covered in sweat.
I'm just a sweater in general.
Yeah, I think I sweat more than you, to be honest. I've never found you to be an excessive sweater.
Thanks, babe.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Wow, I feel so dainty right now.
But that's partially because you need to keep the bedroom at like 50 degrees. You know,
this I'm is like one of brought the great. Up the bedroom.
This is one of the great challenges of a relationship is the temperature of the bedroom. And like, not that I think this is a hack subject, but I have seen people bring this up before, mm-hmm. but seeing as you're the first person I actually really lived with full time, mm-hmm. It's funny to see some of the relationship cliches come to life, because the bedroom temperature, like you like it a lot colder than mm-hmm. I like it.
Well, I run hot naturally because I'm related to Satan, and I remember coming to the room once, and it was like hot, and I couldn't fall asleep, and I'm like, why can't I fall asleep? And I'm like, wait, because it's a fucking oven in here. And it's a weird concept.
But it definitely wasn't an oven.
But I like it cold to then cuddle up with my comforter.
Yeah, I know. But I just feel like we don't have the right comforter for the temperature that you like. We need like one of those like those silver things that they wrap people in to stop them having hypothermia. The temperature that, you know, like I feel like a rescue team has to come in. And
this is why relationships are hard, because you could be compatible in so many things, but then to also be compatible at sleeping together, especially when your whole life you grow up sleeping alone, and then one day it's like, oh, you met your soulmate, and then you have to continue to sleep that comfortably with a living being next to you. I'm so spoiled. I got to the point where I'm like, I can't sleep with you in a queen.
You're such a diva that it needs to be a king, otherwise there's just not enough distance between us while we sleep.
But I also, you like to fall asleep with us cuddling on our sides, where I fall asleep on my stomach. And in the beginning, you do things.
But
for
I fall
partner.
Asleep so fast, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
All we got to do is cuddle, and then seconds later, I'm asleep, and then you can do whatever you like.
That's, I don't want to generalize, but I feel like most men, they fucking do that. They're like, okay, time to, where I have to like count sheep, make sure my cat is purring on me. I have to rethink all the problems I've ever had in my life and how to solve them. I have to have imaginary arguments with anyone that I'm currently beefing with. Where you're,
I mean,
like,
let's face it. The sleeping part of our relationship, it's not that complicated because there's not that many hours where we sleep next to each other because you go to bed hours after me and I wake up hours after you. The great thing about you, I have to say, is that, like,
I'll never cheat because I'm asleep.
No. You don't. You don't. That's whatever. That's like your thing. But you don't. When you, like, wake up in the morning, like when I get up, like, you fall right back to sleep. Whereas, like, in the morning for me, like, once I'm up, I'm up.
My favorite thing about Dez is he will wake up with a literal breath of mine. And he'll be like, oh! And I'm like, how'd you just wake up? And he goes, I'm a hunter.
Oh, that's a joke. Like, I'm like a protector, you know? You never know when you need to.
But I actually get so scared because I know you'll wake up. And you wake up just from movement, not even a sound. Like, you can sense
my mother
movement.
Was the exact same, though.
It's crazy.
Like, I'd be trying to sneak in drunk when I was, like, 13. You know? And, like I'd be, like, halfway up the stairs. And she'd be on the landing, like, where were you? Let me smell your breath. What the fuck? How did you sense me?
So, I think the listeners are all wondering and need to know, how's your relationship with Butter going? How are you guys? Because we know that it was a little rough in the beginning. She has trust issues. She doesn't like most men because she's smart. Where are you guys at now?
I mean, you know, whatever. Butter's Butter. She's an awkward cat.
Well,
Hannah, let's call a spade a spade. I'm not the only person in your life, and every other person in your life has what would be considered a critical view of Butter.
Butter loves me and only me, but I've basically told her we have to let this man into our life. You've been feeding her every morning. She lets you pet her when you feed her, and I think she kind of likes to smell your foot sometimes, and I think that's huge for you and her.
You know, it's taking her a very long time to trust. She loves you, like, you know, she's a cat that's like cuddles with you and nobody else, you know? Mm-hmm. That there's what else is there to say about Butter?
That's why I love monogamous relationships. I have two people that can only love me.
Yeah, but I don't run away when other people come into our apartment.
I'm just going under the table. I'm like, that's just him.
I'm not comfortable with time. I'm really not comfortable with any comparisons.
You just
between me and Butter.
Hide under the blanket and people come in, there's this huge lump in the bed. I'm like, that's Dez. He's not into socializing right now. I wish you could do that and for it to be socially acceptable. Like dogs, when they say dogs don't get along with other dogs. It's like, oh sorry, she doesn't get along with other humans, but she's great, I promise. Just don't go near her.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Before we get to wedding stuff, I saw this article in the New York Times about how cocktails that are non-alcoholic are really starting to boom. I don't know if you saw in New York restaurants, there's now like a mocktail list, which I love because there's a lot of people who have become sober curious, they're calling it, after the pandemic. But there was a lot of drinking going on. I think a lot of people are trying to clean up their act a little after the darkness of the pandemic. What's your opinion on sober curiousness? I would say I'm sober curious.
I don't
know
what sober curiousness is. I mean,
for people who don't know, Dez has been sober since he's 19 years old.
I'm like sober by necessity, not out of curiosity. So I don't know, am I the right guy for what is sober curiousness? But as far as mocktails go, I mean, I'll have a mocktail every now and then if it's like a place if there's a place where everybody's having a, you know, like if it's like a cocktail-y looking place.
Yeah.
I'll try a mocktail for fun. But more often than not, I just find them to be like overly sweet.
Yeah.
And like they disappear too quickly and I'd rather just have like a water. But you know, I've had some fun mocktails.
I think a lot of them are too sweet or strong because it's made to cover up alcohol. And then there is these like sober, for sober curious people, these like non-alcoholic wines and beers. But for me, I don't really like the taste of alcohol. I said it. I'm a 4-year-old. I make a lemon face. Like, I just tasted a lemon.
Yeah, but in fairness, none of them taste like alcohol. They taste like all the stuff minus the alcohol.
I like grape juice. I just think we need to normalize having more apple juice around, you know?
But, baby, it's fine. It's fine to have apple juice. But,
you know how many bars I go to when I ask for apple juice and they laugh at me and they don't have any?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a common, but that's more to do, I think, with it's not a common purchase at a bar.
I do think that there's a wide range between people who are trying to live healthy, like going to yoga, eat healthy, and then people who want to party. And it's almost like you can't be friends with your friends who want to party if you're not partying. But maybe they're trying to get it in between where you can go to the bar and you don't have to get fucked up. You could have mocktails. But I don't know if that'll ever be a thing.
Well, it is a thing. It doesn't require, like most of the things in the modern world, they put a label on a thing that already exists. You know, some people trying to cut back on their alcohol. It doesn't require sober curious. It just requires, like, I'm cutting back on my drinking. I'm trying not to drink as much.
Oh, my God, you nailed it. So sober curious is basically like Gwyneth Paltrow getting divorced, calling it conscious uncoupling. Got it.
Yeah, but, you know, they're coming out actually, it's out already, non-alcoholic Guinness. So I'm going to try that. I generally, you know, in the recovery world, there's a little bit of a negative attitude towards... not mocktails, because mocktails are literally just juices.
Yeah.
But there is a negative attitude towards non-alcoholic beers and non-alcoholic wines. Mm. I think some of the argument is it's kind of like triggering, or perhaps like gives you a little bit of euphoric recall. And then, of course, some of them end up having a small percentage of alcohol anyway, but I think the modern ones have none at all. But anyway, there is a non-alcoholic Guinness coming out. Or is out already, draft stout, and I am going to try that, because I always said I would try a non-alcoholic Guinness if it existed. I have no desire to drink any other non-alcoholic beer, but I will try that.
It's funny, do you think it's crazy that I've never seen you drunk?
No, people who drink or are around a drinking lifestyle think a lot more about alcohol and its importance than I do. It's not a factor
in
my life.
It's not a factor. The only time Dez really saw me drink, I mean, he'll occasionally, but most of the time it just caused me to go to sleep early.
Yeah, like last night.
I passed out at 8 because I had one sangria, so.
You passed out in the car. Well, and I couldn't get you into bed, but then you got into bed last night without waking me up.
It was miraculous. I was so scared.
Coincidentally enough, you got into bed without waking me up.
It's because Romeo was snoring really loud. I think he covered for me. Romeos basically are like night humidifier, our jungle noise to get us to go to sleep is Romeo farting and snoring.
Snoring. He's a big snorer.
Okay, time to get to wedding planning. Babe, how is your wedding planning going?
Well, you know, we got through the initial phase, which was a couple of options.
Which was an engagement, getting engaged?
No, but also we were going to go for the rush wedding.
Yes.
And, That didn't happen.
Thank goodness we didn't, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad. Well, you know, funnily enough, I'm pro and con on the fact that we didn't, because had we done it, it would be done already. So we and because of the timing of it, we would have had less invites to do.
Because it was during COVID.
Yeah, like none of the Irish would have been able to come and stuff. Which, it's not that I don't want the Irish at my wedding, but I kind of, like, would just love to not have the extra invite pressure.
In theory, we liked the idea of, like, a garage wedding, something super easy, something super affordable. But like most things go, once I started to look into it, I was like, what do we want to do?
But I guess, because that ended up being quite a stressful time, like, after mm-hmm. we got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think possibly... The organization of that wedding might have been too much for what was essentially a fledgling relationship. Now it was we had a whirlwind romance, and we got engaged quite quickly, which all felt fine. It didn't feel rushed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it was quite quick. Had we then thrown wedding prep on top of that at a time where we were getting used to living together and dealing with all the shit that we were dealing with, I think it might have just been too much. So I'm glad that we were able to take a break from the...
Did you envision that when you proposed to someone, you were going to propose quick?
In our situation, it was quite... It felt quite natural and everything. But like I said before, but I don't think we've talked about it on this podcast, I didn't really propose thinking about getting married. I just wanted to propose and state my intent. But
ooh.
Actually, the getting married part, I don't know how to, it seems strange to say, but the getting married part wasn't really like on my mind. It was just like, being married to you was on my mind, but actually Ooh. Getting married wasn't
actually
really.
It's funny you brought that up, because I felt the same way about it. We're like, we loved each other so much and we were so into it that it was like the next step had to be like a ring involved, but we didn't think about anything after that.
Yeah, but I'd say that's pretty common, you know. More often than not, people spend quite a bit of time
engaged,
you know.
It's like a promise ring almost, like, especially because we hadn't had sex yet, so you wanted to let me know we were saving ourselves for marriage.
Yeah, well, anyway,
my butthole. Sorry.
Sorry, you've caused me to lose my train of thought.
Wait, so wedding planning, how's it going?
Well, when we first got engaged, it was kind of like a bit of there was like a lot of momentum towards, mm-hmm. you know, organizing the wedding. Initially, there was that like, let's do it straight away, and we had like a nice little setup which fell through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of felt like, phew, thank God, because now we have time to breathe. But actually, you kind of stayed on the momentum, and you and your mom really got a venue pretty fast after that for next year, for 2022,
yeah.
which was great. You picked out a dress really fast, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of like, all right, that's really quite a lot that,
yeah.
that we locked down pretty fast.
Yeah, I feel like I got the hard part over. It's like the dress,
yeah.
the venue, the man.
So I haven't really got that the much ring. Into thinking about it again, because actually there's this whole thing of getting our life back together
yeah.
from the pandemic. I mean, certainly like in terms of like comedy, it's like let's sort that out and then lock down the wedding. But I do feel I feel like now I have to really make a decision on who I'm going to invite.
Oh God. You know when your phone just falls into the death cavity of the, oh God, my finger. Okay, we're fine. Anyway, so I have been talking to people about invites, and a lot of people are like, fuck this, fuck that, it's your wedding, who gives a fuck? But you don't want to have a great day cause more drama, you
yeah
know?
But it's gonna cause drama. There's just like the invites is a real drama, and you get mixed reports from people. Like some people are like, fuck it, you invite who you want to invite,
mm-hmm.
those are the people you want there, and the people who are offended can go, you know, screw themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to other people and they're like, I know, you have to, you know, this person has to go, that person has to go. And so it
Or people are like, don't invite anyone you're not going to be talking to in 5 years. And to be honest, 30 years old is a very transitional stage for a lot of like work, friendships. You start getting less close to, let's say, like your party friends if you're not partying as much. And or like if you get a new job, your coworkers are gone. Like there's a lot of transitions. If you're less friends with like your single girls because you're doing more coupley stuff. I don't fucking know. Long story short, I'm inviting people who I think are going to be so fun at the wedding. And I don't care if I'm going to talk to them in 5 years or not. If they're giving me good vibes right now, we're going to vibe. And I
know, but babe, this is not true, because the reality is that we're trying to keep the numbers lower. So you're not just throwing caution to the wind on the invite list.
Well, we're aiming for 150.
The more you think about inviting people, the more you understand why people go for big weddings. But at the same time, you remember why you wanted a small one in the first place, which is like you just didn't want it. And it's nothing to do with finances. It's just like you want the simplicity of like not a lot of people and less organization.
Yeah. The problem is when you have groups of friends. Because when you have groups of friends, that means everyone knows you have people in your group of friends who you like more than others. But if you, God forbid, invite some and you don't invite the whole group, that's when problems come. And that's why you shouldn't be friends with groups of people.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Do you like going to weddings? Do you like?
No, I don't yeah. like going to weddings.
Because I don't want like the guy like biting the garter. Like that's, I don't want,
well,
like,
we're not
my
doing
uncle
that.
To
We're not
watch.
Doing that.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not doing that. We're not throwing the bouquet. We're not doing the garter thing.
Well, I was about to ask you on my phone, what are some wedding no's we're not doing?
Well, that's
corny DJ.
Well, we're not having the like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the bridegroom. We're not having that guy. We're not doing that. we're not doing the groom and the mother dance. Which, you know, would have been great if we could, but we're not doing it. And I'm not getting a replacement.
I don't think I'm you get a replacement.
No, like I could do it with Joe Gibney. I could, you know, like Joe Gibney.
Yeah.
Is like my Irish mom. And I could dance with her, but also, I'd rather
dance
just
with
not
her throughout the night. We don't have to make like a moment.
No, I know, but I guess some people would do that, you know,
yeah.
Just because like some people like the tradition of.
I don't need to dance with my dad. That's not our relationship.
You're not
going to
do that.
We're like buddy buddy. I'm not like.
Are you not going to do that?
No, I don't. I think there's a weird like, oh, the dad is now giving you off to another man to like. My dad and I have always been like best friends. It's not this like daddy's girl type. Bullshit. I don't like that stuff.
Okay, that's fine. Now, I have to tell you, just for the record, in this conversation,
if
my mother was alive, I would have done the dance. I mean, it was a big moment for my brother. When my brother danced with my mom at his wedding, you know, they were both crying, and I was crying. I mean, that was a nice moment. I'm not against that, by the way. It's not a wedding tradition I'm against. I just, you know, my mom's not around. But I definitely would have.
My dad and I have too much of a silly relationship. I would end up like kneeing him in the shin, and then he's like pushes me, and then like
just to play devil's advocate, you know, you may underestimate the significance of the day, and I wouldn't be against the sense of marking the occasion and sharing that moment with your father. He may actually have had times thought about that moment himself. You know, I mean, I understand that you have like a silly relationship with your father, but you know, you might want to you may not want to do the dance, which is totally fine. But you might want to revisit that just in terms of, you know.
But is it going to make you sad that I'm dancing with my parent?
No, it would make me sad if you chose not to do the father of the bride dance.
I also
because
just
you
think people watching you dance is fucking awkward.
Yeah, but it's only for a couple of seconds, then everyone joins the floor normally.
Okay.
You know,
because that's actually my nightmare. Like, I'll talk in front of 400 people, but to watch me do an awkward slow dance with my dad makes me feel awkward.
Yeah, mentally right now thinking about it. But, you know, at the time, it's a very emotional day. I mean, it's an emotional moment. But again, like I said, I would make no judgments on the decision that you make. But that would definitely be a tradition that I wouldn't be I would have been involved in, you know, if my mom was alive. But I would think it's nice to see you there dancing with your dad. I mean, it's like it's a pretty like I enjoyed watching your brother dance with your mom at your brother's wedding. I mean, it was a nice thing. It's like a nice moment.
So I asked you how's the wedding planning going, kind of as a joke, because I am doing the wedding planning. I do want to let people know what I have so far, because I don't always tell Dez. Every now and then, he's kind of like, whatever you want, whatever you want. And then I'll tell him like a fun idea I have, and he's like, absolutely not. So he kind of doesn't care, but then he does. But our vibe I'm going for is Brooklyn on the beach. So it's basically going to be on the ocean, but with a very, not corny, not like navy white Hamptons type of vibe. I want it to be laid back, or maybe like sea glassy, wildflower, that kind of vibe.
What you say Brooklyn by the beach, like what's Brooklyn about what you just said?
Okay, now you're putting me on the spot.
No, I'm just curious. I don't.
I feel like a Brooklyn wedding, like it looks like maybe like vintagey. Like just not as stuck up as the Hamptons.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be anyway because my cousins are coming. You don't have to worry about the wedding not being stuck up. I mean, I think we're going to get sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. You know, it's like, it's not going to be a stuck up wedding. You know, one of my cousins is like, I got to go, bro. I'm doing overtime and sanitation. You know, it's not going to be like a.
I was saying, you know, these Hamptons weddings, it's like, oh, there's going to be starfish and there's going to be.
Oh, no, but it was never going to be that.
Brooklyn on the beach was a good, like, what's a.
It's alliteration.
Alliteration. Oh, I fucking love alliteration. It literally gives me an orgasm when I do alliteration. That's why I try to do it in all my titles of Burning in Hell. And when I don't, it ruins my day. Anyway, when are you going to write your vows, babe?
We can discuss. This is very interesting, this whole like writing your vows thing. I didn't know this was like a thing. I mean, I know we're not doing like a church thing, but I'm actually, the one part about church weddings is like, I was quite happy with the vows, but I didn't realize when people stopped using the church that then they were also like writing their vows. The original vows as they were, I was very happy with them.
Oh, you might want to do a traditional vow.
Yeah, but I'm fine. We haven't discussed
that. We'll discuss this at a
time. Which I always love when suddenly the first time we discuss something is with a microphone. But my personal opinion, and this is just, I'm putting it out there for you to digest, is even though we're not going traditional, which I'm not I'm traditional on a couple of things, like who should give speeches, and then I quite liked, you know, it's funny because I guess because I was an altar boy, and even though I'm so anti-church now, I was an altar boy. I was around a lot of weddings, and I don't know, like in my mind, that's getting married, like to having to hold a sickness, you know, like I like that to me, like that's the one traditional part is like.
That's, I kind of love that, babe.
That's getting married to me,
babe. Yeah, that's so cute.
And then, in the speech, that's like I feel like in the speech, that's when you get into the.
Oh, so you want to do a separate speech, like at the ceremony?
Yeah. Well, this whole concept of the things that were being said in the vows was like, what? That is literally for later.
Because Daniel and Ginny didn't do a speech.
No, they
after.
Didn't. No.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I also feel like as two stand-up comics, it's like a lot. If we were to say our own stuff, like not that it would put pressure on us, but it could turn into something we don't want it to be.
Are you saying that we were going to get competitive with our vows?
No, but we might get a little jokey, or we might try to entertain the crowd more than
for
ourselves.
Yeah, but I also felt that, like, what I also find weird is when people do their own vows, it's like the vows are not the same.
Yeah. Wait, that's really funny. You know, like, one vow is like about staying through the hard times, and the other one's vow is
like,
about,
you know, like making sure that the bed is made every morning. But you know, I'm.
You've realized through the vows they're just not compatible.
Yeah,
they get like, in a fight
be,
about
that'd
the vows.
That'd be a weird. Yeah, like right in the middle of things. Like, hold on, celebrant. What do you mean? But I assume they're not shocking each other with the vows. Obviously, they've discussed, you know.
Really? Did you have to bring that up?
Yeah. It's like, I won't fart after 9 p.m. But anyway, it's not that. We're joking. But yeah, I just like the same vows. What's your feeling on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ceremony, let's be honest, is the most. It's kind of boring. It's a little boring.
Well, it's beautiful in that, like.
It's beautiful to an extent.
The wedding part, yeah. If you just stick to the bits that matter, which is essentially like marry these motherfuckers, and obviously you walking out. That's like the big moment is you walking
you gotta
out.
Cut the fat. It's like a comedy
married.
Special.
Yeah.
Cut the fat.
Walk down. Look beautiful. Don't lose too much weight that people are like, whoa, she's gotten too skinny. You walk down the aisle, right?
Don't be too tan. You don't
ceremony.
Be too orange.
Ceremony is a beautiful moment. You kiss the bride. Everybody claps. And then you walk back out and like, let's fucking party.
Okay, this is my question to you. Tongue or no tongue?
Oh, it's no tongue. You don't need to be like sticking your tongue down in front of everybody.
Why do I feel like
no, but it should
when
be just,
he says you can kiss the bride, I'm going to try tongue. And you're going to be like, stop.
Yeah, don't, babe, don't make me recoil. Don't do a joke. Like, because you're such a fuck. You know, like, your sense of humor sometimes is so silly that, like, you'll think it's hilarious in that moment. But then there'll just be a load of pictures of me looking at you being like, why now? Why do you, like, what's the matter? Why now? Hello?
No, I'm probably not going to want to mess up my makeup.
No, I think the kiss should be like gently passionate and not that long.
Are you going to tip me over kind of thing, like the movies?
I mean, I'm certainly not going to think about it that much. I'm
going to
let it be natural.
I heard some couples will practice it. I think we go natural. We see what happens.
I think we go natural, but I beg you not to do anything silly.
As a man who really hates PDA, but I feel like I've conquered some of your fears. Right. Are you going to feel weird kissing me in front of all those people?
Hannah, we were on a fucking TV show making out all the time. What planet are you living on to ask me about PDAs? We actually got torn apart on the internet for fucking PDAs. So don't act like PDAs are a problem in our relationship.
It's not PDAs. It's just PDA. Public display of affection.
No, I know, but we had many of them. Sorry, should we? PDZA? I mean, it was multiple.
Okay.
I'm talking about the plural. What's the plural of public displays of affection? Yeah, PDSA.
Oh, wow. I'm really excited for you to see my dress.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the big, you know, and I'm another tradition I think is great is the seeing you for the first time. Now, Here's an area of great controversy which needs to be discussed.
So happy you're bringing it up.
Your brother's wedding, they did a first look, which apparently is the new thing.
Yes.
Because they want to capture that moment on camera.
The reason for the first look is you get that moment on camera, so then you don't have to take, and you take photos after that. And you don't have to take photos after the ceremony, so you miss the cocktail party. That's the reason for the first look.
Yeah, so I understand that, but the problem is that it's kind of fake. Like in a way, I feel like that's all about the photo and the video. Which the one thing that bothers me about weddings, and I know everyone says it's really important, is the emphasis on the photographs to the point where it's like not fun. It's like a job.
Yeah.
And I am, even though I know that some people will disagree with me on this, I think you can get enough photos. We're on the beach. I think you can get the photos that you need 15 minutes after the ceremony is done. I don't need a gazillion setup photos for that after part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to sacrifice that 15 minutes after the, you know, the wedding.
I agree.
Because we're right there. See,
you only need
part
so
of the problem
many
is that, like,
posed photos.
Yeah, and also don't forget that a lot of that comes from people. They go from the church to the reception.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's like this long period of time. Like, we can bang out 15 minutes of photos right after the wedding.
Their first look was special because Daniel was so nervous and excited and full of emotions. And he's normally very, like, put together, logical guy, but he was feeling it all. So he's freaking out. And someone taps him for the first look. He turns around and it's his best friend, Jack, in a wedding dress.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It was hilarious. He couldn't even handle it because he was too thrown, but they had it on video. It was great. But I agree that I want to see your face when I walk down the aisle.
Yeah, I want that.
And if you don't cry, we're going to have a problem.
Babe, don't put the pressure. Because now you said if you don't cry, so now I'm not going to cry.
I know, that's so you.
You know, like,
I was kidding.
And I'm a crier. I'll cry. So you don't need to worry about the crying part. But, you know, now that you've talked about it, you've ruined it.
I feel like I knew how much I loved you when you were crying during watching Love on the Spectrum. And it was the cutest thing. I love when men cry. I love making them cry.
I'm down with the tradition of seeing you for the first time walking down. I also, to be honest, man, the first look is all about the camera. I don't want to feel like I'm on camera when I see you for the first time.
I don't want to feel like I'm shooting reality TV.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to think like, oh, this is all about capturing the moment that I see Hannah for the first time.
No. You want to be existing in a real moment.
I want to be in the moment.
Yeah.
I want to be in a wedding moment.
Okay, tell me the truth. Is there any part of you?
No.
No, you're right. That wants me to take your name.
Oh, I do not care about the name. I don't care.
Why? Because I was talking to my other friend the other day, and he was like, that would be an issue for me. And I was like, let's unpack that.
Why? I don't know. I just don't.
I was like, what, do you want ownership of me?
There, I guess I'm more of a feminist than I am not. And I don't get the whole name thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you said to me, I want to take your name, I'd be like, fine.
Yeah.
But also, you not taking my name does not do anything to me. Doesn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, weirdly enough, our children, I would think it's weird if you insisted on going like Bishop Burner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a discussion.
I don't think we should do Bishop Burner. I further fucking more think they just should be Burner.
Well, that's a conversation. That's a conversation we'll be having.
But that's like I am intrinsically like that women and men, they're different. They're not, but they should have equal opportunity. And I haven't fully understood the tradition of why, like, the man's name needs to continue. Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't.
They were birthed from my fucking vagina.
I understand. That's like, but that would be a conversation. You taking my name or not, I don't care. Our children, that's another thing. And to be honest, and that would also be because that is now a thing. And that will actually be a thing that we will then be discussing for the rest of our lives. Because people will always say, why did the kids take your name?
No, I love the name Bishop. I think it's a beautiful name. I would take Hannah Bishop. Sounds beautiful.
I mean, it doesn't sound that different to your own name.
It doesn't sound that different. Same initials. For what I've heard, because my mom went to Leo/Burner and she said it was a fucking headache. I've heard that people who can't go on their honeymoons because they didn't legally change their name right. It's a whole mess. The names are stressful. But I do think that there is like sometimes a case where your name dies. You know what I mean? Like no one in your family has boys and your names just die.
Yeah.
Where it makes me sad that like, oh, why can't this family then have the girl take the name, but I don't know. It's
Well, you know, my brother has two bishop boys.
Yeah.
And if your father only had girls and mm-hmm. he was deeply concerned mm-hmm. about no burners existing, mm-hmm. you know, I would be open to doing that because of that reason.
Oh, you're so cute.
But like because I think that there's going to be some burners in Indiana. I don't really think it's an issue for us.
I'm fine with them getting your last name because whenever they get into trouble, I'm going to be like, they're such bishops.
Well, you're going to say that anyway because they always blame the other, you know, you always blame the other side. Like I'm not going to say which relationship, but I watched other families and like, all the negative attributes always get attributed to one family and all the positives to the other.
The problem is I feel like you and I are quite similar, where when our kid is being obnoxious, talking too much, and being a sarcastic asshole, we're like, okay, I don't know who.
Yeah, I mean, it really all depends. Like the one thing I don't know, because I had brothers only,
mm-hmm.
and then my brothers only had two boys. Like, he's had boys.
Yeah, so many boys.
Like, I just don't know what a female version of, like, our family. hopefully not.
Oh my gosh. Well, if we have,
in an ideal world, they'd be more like your mom.
Your mom's probably listening to this podcast in heaven.
Oh, well, that's the least of her problems. She would have just watched a bit of Doggy Style only 2 hours ago.
Ew! Oh, my God. So because it's Burning in Hell, we have to end with my final game that I love to play called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
So the way this one's going to be unique is we're going to say what we think each other's deadly sin is. Okay. What do you think I'm greedy about?
What?
Cat pets.
Oh, right.
I'm going to pet my cat all the time, all day long, all night long. You're greedy about your mornings. You love the morning. You want to take in every moment of the morning. And I'm so envious of you because the mornings are my nightmare. I wake up full of anxiety. What's the day going to bring? Scared, in a fetal position in my bed, hoping the morning is over. And then once the morning ends, then I'm stressed that I didn't have a good morning. What? Oh, this is so easy. What are you gluttonous about? I'll go first. Dez is gluttonous about ice cream.
Yes, 100%.
100,000%. Even to the point that, like, it's not just that he likes sweets. He wants ice cream. Like, I could put cakes, cream puffs. Why do I say cream puffs? Like, as if that's something we have all the time. Cookies. He's going for the ice cream. That's all he wants. What am I gluttonous about?
Yeah. Obviously, you're a little... You're greedy and gluttonous with sleep. You know? But you do sleep a lot. Indeed, you do.
Thanks, babe. I like to get my 14 hours in. Ooh, when was the last time we've each experienced wrath? I'll go first. The last time you experienced wrath was earlier in this trip when Waze recommended something that you disagreed with. I've actually not seen you get bad road rage at all, ever.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I've had it since we've been together.
But you've told me that you've had it.
Yeah.
Never when I'm in the car, though, which is kind of you.
No, you just get my gentle seethingness of somebody sticking to the speed limit on Dune Road. Somebody doing 25 in West Hampton Dunes.
My papa, Nana's husband, Nana still got its husband, has the cutest road rage because he won't curse, but he'll be like this old Italian guy being like, this meatball head. Look at this meatball head. He'd always call him a meatball head. And you just kind of like to say the F word under your breath with it, which I think is adorable. When was the last time I experienced wrath, babe?
I honestly, babe, I don't know. I don't know when you... I haven't really seen you experience wrath.
He's right. I'm more of a crier. When was the last time we were sloths? I wanted to be a sloth today.
You're always a sloth. Like, you're either insanely busy or slothing. There's no in between with you.
Dez is never a sloth. Dez will be slothy for maybe a couple hours, and then we have to go on a walk. So Dez is a full-on hyper-Labrador retriever, and I am a fat cat.
Yeah, you know, you're just like, you're not good at the in-between.
True.
It's like insanely busy and then, you know, like nothing. It's like, come on, let's do something. It's like, no, I'm having a mental health day. You know.
Also known as the weekend.
Yeah, just like a day off.
Okay, what's our celebrity crush? Crushes.
I don't have a celebrity crush these days. You're my celebrity crush.
Oh, thanks, babe. Hannah Burner. No, your celebrity crush is J-Lo.
No, she is not my celebrity crush. Absolutely not. I once admired her ass, and you have inflated my like for J-Lo. She's definitely not my celebrity crush. No way. I put Megan Fox is like way, 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 way higher on the list than J-Lo.
Oh, you liked Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. She was one of my biggies. Kelly Brook, British kind of celebrity.
Was she brunette?
Yeah, she's brunette with a big ass.
Okay, ooh. Good.
I think Halle Berry was a crush of mine for a period of time.
Well, everyone has a crush on Halle Berry. I do too. My celebrity... Do you know my celebrity crushes?
No.
I don't really have that many celebrity crushes. I used to like Channing Tatum when he was younger. Because I like guys with blue eyes who like have swag.
I'm not that up. But, you know, I mean, whatever. He was in Magic Mike, right?
Yeah.
And Hunger Games?
No.
He wasn't in Hunger Games?
No, he's not that much of an actor to be in Hunger Games. He only does like...
Who was the main guy in Hunger Games?
John Hutchinson or something.
All right.
And Will Ferrell. I'm just kidding.
That'll be fine.
But I do love Will Ferrell. He's one of my faves. Okay, Dez, we've gone on a journey.
Oh, that's
literally
it?
Literally and figuratively. Yeah, that was what... That's how Burning in Hell ends.
No, I know, but I don't know why you stay so strict to the... You're so rigid to the...
I'm not rigid. If you take it where you want to take it, you can go anywhere. Do you have any other thoughts?
No, well, I enjoy when we're talking about our stuff. I don't like pointing out what you're greedy about. It's not my...
Is there anything else about us you want to talk about?
It's not my area.
Do you have any other compliments you want to give me?
No, I just want to talk like two normal human beings. not make
Sorry, up. Sometimes podcasts have segments.
I know, but that's a different...
That was a guided segment about us.
No, I understand, but that's... I'm not too into pointing
honestly,
out anything bad about
I'm taking
you,
this you out, know? But biggest diva guest I've ever had. Final question for the listeners is, what do you do to cope with your hell when you're going through it?
Like I meditate. I exercise, talk to people. If it's particularly bad, I'm not as quick to call somebody as I am to tell somebody who's going through it that they should call somebody.
Mm.
I don't follow that advice as quickly as I give it, but mm-hmm. I'll call. I have some people I would call if it's particularly bad. Go for a swim.
Mm.
You know, I try to do something to change my state.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
the one thing I took from Tony Robbins, even though I think he's a total charlatan, but his whole change your state thing I found pretty practical in that, like, so often, no matter how complicated something is or no matter how strong the feeling is, there may be some deeper solutions that are necessary. There may mm-hmm. be more complicated stuff you need to work through, but often it can be a little bit easier or even like completely change your mood by just doing something to distract yourself from what's going on. And you can, amazingly often, you can get quite a break from the intensity of what you're feeling by literally just doing something else, like going for a swim or going for a jog or having a cold shower, you know, just something that just kind of like snaps you out of it. And then I think you get maybe just a touch of perspective or maybe like an ounce of distance from mm-hmm. what you're feeling that it might be that little bit easier, which of course I also give advice. Like when people are arguing is like, how much of this argument can be dealt with right now and how much of it will be easier to deal with if you stepped away from the emotion of that moment, the adrenaline or the, you know, the, whatever hormones have been secreted from the conflict.
Mm.
If you could step away for a half an hour, just go for a walk, do something different and come back to it, how much more objective could you be about
Do you believe then that it's okay to go to bed angry?
Well, I don't. I don't. Like, sometimes it's just like you're not going to resolve it before you go to bed. So why try to deal with it? You know what I mean? Because possibly part of the problem is you're like really tired. So like this whole thing of like never go to bed angry. I understand. It's like it's not bad advice, but sometimes it's like, why are you going to like make? Why are we going to try to like this has to be resolved now when actually asleep in itself might be the thing where you wake up in the morning and you,
well, specifically
you're like, why
does,
do I give a fuck?
Because he gets really tired after 9 p.m.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that. Like my circadian rhythm is I wake up at fucking 6 a.m. when I don't want to, but I get tired at 9 o'clock. It's not the ideal circadian rhythm for a comedian.
The Tony Robbins advice of like change your state.
That's what he said.
Is interesting. Unless you have serious depression, and then it's you literally can't change your state. It's exhausting, but it is true. Just sometimes the littlest thing, like brushing your teeth.
Yeah, like I said, like this is just like, you know, I never give people advice about like clinical depression or whatever the official term is these days. For somebody who thinks that they're having some sort of acute mental health crisis, I don't have any advice for that because I don't think that I've ever had what could be perceived as clinical depression, like an inescapable state of mind. I don't think I've had that. I've never felt completely imprisoned by what's going on for
me.
So
jelly.
So I give the advice based on like, you know, what's practical for the shit that I've dealt with in my life. I don't have I may also have just such an intense tolerance for emotional pain that I don't realize I've been depressed half my life. You know, but that's kind of a joke. But anyway, long story short, that's just one of the many things that I do to deal with my quote unquote personal hell. I just think sometimes when you're going through like really difficult stuff, like a relationship loss or death of a parent or, you know, any of these very serious things, like, I don't know if it matters whether you say I'm depressed because of it or if it's really just the intensity of that emotion. But like, you know, the change of state thing, I'm not saying it heals the depression, but it can actually give you maybe like a touch of relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like when you can't fall asleep because you get stuck in a brain spiral and you're stuck in bed, so you can't really do anything else. So you like just can't fall asleep. Where you wake up in the morning and you're fine. It's easy to think yourself into it, that it's way worse than it is if you're stuck in a certain situation with your head. I do think you're right. You don't suffer from depression at all. You're naturally a very uppity guy. And I think if you did suffer from depression, it would make our relationship a lot harder because I do suffer from depression at times. And you've inspired me to change states when I wouldn't have. And in the moment, I hate you for it. You'll be like, let's take a walk. Let's go in the water. Let's do it. And I'll be like, ugh. But most of the time, you're right.
But, I mean, yeah, but can you, like, this is a curiosity. But can you 100% say that that's depression or is that something, like how, you know, how do you know?
You call me lazy?
No, I'm actually curious. Like, how do you know? Like, how do you say?
Depression. It's a mindset where nothing brings you joy. You don't feel like the day is worth living. You feel like there's a 100-pound monkey on your back and your thoughts are very negative. And it's a mindset that I've been in before and I know when it's not with me.
And do they... So in a situation where I'm like, come on, let's do something. Because I'm not trying to get you to do it because I think you're depressed. Mm-hmm. I literally am just like trying to motivate you to get up. But like, is that like a thing that can be alleviated by doing something? Or like, is that like a thing that's said? Like, oh,
temporarily can make me feel better to change my state and to be with you and like take a nice walk and stuff like that. It does help because normally when you're sitting somewhere you're in a certain state, but sometimes depression is also like you need to rest, like you need a certain amount of time. For me, the way I get out of depression, it's never like a walk or like a one therapy session that you're like, oh, aha moment. Depression is like time goes by and eventually you stop thinking about your depression and it's just not there and it's not a thing. But when it's there, it's very loud and it's hard. And depression and anxiety for me play together. They have a good time together. So it's normally not one without the other. Too much of one causes the other.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have heard that, you know, like a particularly chronic anxiety leads to depression.
Yeah, which is what I've experienced. But I've been getting out of my depression, and that has been fun for me. And I've noticed that I've been socializing more. I've been eating a little healthier. I've been working out more. But it's very hard to force yourself out of depression. You just have to keep taking care of yourself. Yeah.
Yes, and you were proactive with the getting the therapist and everything.
Yes, I got a therapist. Because also, it's hard to be in a relationship when you find yourself struggling mentally, because you also want to be available for your partner emotionally, even if you're not there for yourself sometimes. Or, like, love your partner even if you're not loving yourself. But I do think that going through hard times with... That's why people are like, oh, relationships are never perfect. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Because lives aren't perfect. Like, it's not like you find this great person, then suddenly nothing goes wrong in your life. Like, I was going through my own stuff that Dez just happened to be on the ride for, where there's ups and downs. But we survived.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I that was, you know, that time was quite stressful, but I mean, we were the right people for each other at that time.
Yes. Dez, thank you so much for coming on the pod. I love you so much. Thanks for opening up about the wedding. And Little Devils, thanks for asking him questions. Some were mine that I just accused them of being yours. Dez, where can people follow you, watch you, listen to you, go to your shows? Give me the goods.
I'm on at Dez Bishop on Instagram. Dez Bishop 5 on TikTok, whoever those four Dez Bishops were that got there before me. And I'm at the Comedy Cellar all the time. And
he's going to be in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be in Ireland a couple of hours. Oh, I'm going to be on the plane in a couple of hours. And, of course, the traffic only got worse. I mean, we saved boring your listeners, but, like, the traffic has only gotten worse, and now I actually don't know if I'm going to be able to get back to the apartment and go to the airport, so we may have to adjust our plan.
Wow.
Just
the drama.
So you know. The drama.
The drama. Well, we love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.